Welcome to the Glory to His Name podcast, where our goal is to help encourage, equip, and edify God's people. Today, Travis is interviewing a great Louisvillian. He's from Louisville, Kentucky. His name is Amos Martin. Amos played football for the University of Louisville, went on to the National Football League, did some great things there, and then met someone and that told him about the Lord Jesus, which forever changed his direction in life. So you're going to hear a story about Amos Martin, how he went from the football field to the harvest field. It's just a great, great story. I hope you have time. It's a little bit longer podcast this time, but sit back and enjoy and listen to Travis's interview. And we'll make some parting comments at the end. So here we have Amos Martin. Enjoy.
All right, we're here at the home of Amos Martin, and Amos has been kind enough to let us come by today and ask him a few questions about his life. He's a fascinating man, and we want to let everybody hear his story, so we're going to get on to that here real soon. But Amos, could you start off by telling folks a little bit about yourself?
Sure. It's Bardstown, Kentucky. Dreams were always to play all sorts of sports, you know, small town, played everything, basketball, football, baseball, track, did it all. So I was occupied all year long. But football was my passion and my dream. And I was fortunate to get a scholarship at the University of Louisville, which they actually gave me a one-year scholarship to start with because they weren't quite sure. But in my freshman year, I went from I was about 6'3 and a half, 208. And for spring practice and during the off season, I grew another 3/4 inch, 6'4", and gained 30 pounds, so it was 235. So I was a pretty good sized linebacker in 1967.
So you're getting a little more interesting to them by this point.
Yes, they said, obviously they gave me extended my scholarship, and I was a starter. At that time, you couldn't play freshman football, so
okay.
But I started as a sophomore.
And what year is this? When did
this was 1968. I graduated from high school in 67, and so the football season of 67 was my freshman year there. Then 1968, University of Louisville. That was my sophomore year. Was Frank Camp's last year. Now y'all probably don't remember him, but Corso took over the next year.
Okay.
So Corso came in 1969, and during my sophomore year, I got hurt. I busted my knee up, and it was well during the rest of that season, but I hurt it again right before spring ball started. I had surgery, so I was redshirted Corso's first year.
Okay.
And but I knew he was going to be a great coach and great to play for, and you see him on SportsCenter, and so enthusiastic, and he's fading a little bit now, but just a great individual and a great coach. So played for him for 3 years. I was fortunate to get drafted by the Vikings. I'd had a shoulder injury, and that had to get repaired in after my senior season. And so I thought I'd just probably be a free agent because I had a chronic dislocation. They repaired it. And so draft day came. I just wasn't expecting anything, but they called me and said I got drafted in the 6th round by Minnesota.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
So you've already had a knee injury and a shoulder injury?
Had knee surgery as a sophomore, and then I had a shoulder surgery as a senior. So
wow.
The knee was obviously fine for the next 3 years that I played, and the shoulder, again, I figured everybody would be skeptical and I wouldn't get a shot, but drafted in the 6th round, went to Minnesota. So here's my dream come true, that everything I'd anticipated for success in my life had just now happened because I made the team in the first year up in Minnesota.
Well, yeah.
And after that first year is... things weren't quite what I expected. The happiness and of success and fame wasn't there. And a buddy of mine, prior to my second year, we were talking to some Christian girls before I left for training camp, and
that'll get you in trouble.
Yeah, and we were talking to them about their faith and had a lot of questions, and I left for training camp. I was there for 2 weeks, and I called back, and my buddy said he had been in the swimming pool with these Christian girls, and he'd accepted Jesus Christ into his life.
No kidding.
So, you know, my response was, what happened? You know, Jesus come walking across the water. You know, what was going on? I, you know, obviously a skeptic.
Oh, yeah.
But it inspired me. I'd seen some guys on the team with a little bit different attitude. Something was different about them, and I started going to chapel services. And
now you're talking about guys on the team of the Vikings.
That's correct. In my second year, I wasn't roommates with a Christian guy, but there were a lot of other good Christian guys on the team that were, you know, just seemed to have something special about them. I couldn't quite figure out what they had and what was missing in my life, but. I went to a chapel service in Oakland, California in 1974, and a guy came and spoke and said, you know, all you got to do is ask him to come in your life. And I didn't like who I was at that point. I didn't like my life, and even though I had football and had money, fame, success. And so he said, all you got to do is ask. And I did that day in Oakland, California, and asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior.
And what year was that?
1974.
Okay.
1974. And I remember leaving that conference room and walking down the hallway, and it seemed like it was 2 miles long. I was waiting for something to happen here. I'd made what I thought was a major decision in my life, but nothing really happened. There weren't any lights flashing or nobody congratulated me. But I know that day in Oakland, California, Jesus Christ came into my life, because my life made a drastic turnaround at that point. And it was a long road from then, but I learned a lot of things. Started, you know, going, doing some Bible studies. I actually went to a seminar, and the guy came and he spoke about us being, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit and being more involved with God and His Word. And he asked big questions. He said, you know, how much time do you spend with the Lord? And no, he asked questions. How much time do you spend reading magazines? How much time do you spend with TV? How much time do you spend with the newspaper? How much time, you know, in today's society, how much time you spend on the computer? How much time you spend on your phone? And you start calculating that. Then he asked the big question. He said, how much time do you spend with God? And I was pretty shocked. At that time, I was just going to chapel service and wasn't doing much. I was reading a Living Bible at the time, but I was a little bit lost in it. And he said, I want to challenge you today to spend 5 minutes a day with God. And he says, this isn't, just don't make this a simple promise. This is a covenant that you're going to make with the Lord. And if you don't say it, I want you to spend 5 minutes a day with Him for a year. And I said, I'm in. And he said, I want you to raise your hand. This is a big crowd in a big auditorium, and shoot, there's 5,000 or 7,000 people there, and all of my hand went up that day. And I won't forget that day, because I made that promise and I made that covenant with God. And sometimes after that I would forget during the day, but as I got ready to go to bed, the Holy Spirit would prompt me, and I'd get up and go read or pray and spend that time with God. And that sort of led me to the next phase of my life. Of, I mentioned to you, I was reading the Living Bible, and but I was random reading, and I was sort of getting lost a little bit and wasn't defined. And so I knew I needed some. I went to the bookstore and I found some devotionals in there. And I said, this is a daily thing that I can get used to. And I found a little small devotional by Max Licato. And it's a simple, you know, I knew I could do that in 5 minutes a day. And but the word was in there, all over random scriptures from the Old and New Testament. And then he had a short summation, and I knew that was for me, because that way I could be structured and know that here's what I can know that I need to do each day, and I had a direction, as opposed to, you know, just scattered reading and not really know how to interpret the Bible or even to understand it.
Something to help keep you on track.
Right. So it kept me on track. And I remember that day too, when we left there, they gave us a lot of scriptures about seeking God. And Jeremiah says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. And there's other scriptures and Psalms, and blessed are those who seek me with all their heart. And Proverbs, love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. One of my favorite scriptures in Hebrews is, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And that one's scripture stayed with me for a long time. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So I started spending more time with God, and since that day, you know, it's extended. It's a lot longer now. I actually have four devotionals that I read now. I still read Max. I got an old tattered book that's all beat up, but I love it because it also had a journaling spot in there, and you know, I had notes from years ago of what it said to me, and so that's been interesting. But I read one by Tony Dungy, and I've got two by Charles Stanley. Those speak to me, and you've got sort of a, you know, sports with Tony. You got a little sports connection, and Max is pretty simple. Stanley gets a little bit more intense, and yes. You know, I've done Oswald Chambers and stuff too. But these seem like they're the ones that speak to me every day. And
there's something you said there, and I don't want to miss that, Amos. You probably just something that came natural to you, but I don't want to blow past it. So you said you started out with a 5-minute a day commitment,
yeah,
and it's much more than that now.
Absolutely.
And you came up with that on your own, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you just found in the Word of God that you suddenly had a desire to spend more time.
Right.
So it went further than 5 minutes. And so the Word of God grew on you. So you definitely wanted to spend more time on your own. Nobody told you to. You just come up with that on your own.
Right.
That's fantastic. Yeah, yeah, that's something I think a lot of people don't realize, especially when you don't know Christ as your Savior. I did, and I remember my dad had a Bible we kept in our foyer coming in our house, and a big Mason Bible we had when I was a kid. I tried to pick that up one time, couldn't make heads or tails, so I didn't understand it. Of course, I didn't know Christ. I didn't have the interpreter in me, I guess. But I had the same experience. So later on, I started reading the Bible. It grew, you know, and I think that's important for people to know that, you know, it's not a burden to read this book. It's something you want to do, you know, and you find yourself desiring it more and more. And that's a fantastic part of your story.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the whole thing about spending time with God is the Bible is a tough book. It's, you know, the New Testament's relatively simple and in most parts, and it tells a story, and I always tell people really start out with the Gospel of John and how Jesus, you know, witnessed to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Nicodemus and the apostles but the Old Testament, I couldn't make heads or tails of the Old Testament. I always questioned, say, why did God write all that stuff? And it took me a long time, but through the years, probably 8 or 9 years ago, I went through a 2-year Bible study that's called DC, Disciples Curriculum, and it's a designated daily Bible study with the group, and it opened up the new Old Testament to me. I finally figured out the Old Testament, and it was hard to believe that I'd missed as much as I'd missed, because I was predominantly a New Testament reader. And all the stories and all the miracles and all the blessings of the Old Testament, all the prophecies were just magnificent, and it's opening up. But the main thing for people to do is find something they enjoy. And you know, a lot of people say, well, I've got to read the Bible, or I'm going to start from the front to the back. Well, Genesis and Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Exodus is pretty good. You can start getting the numbers in those other books.
Leviticus is pretty tough.
Yeah. You're saying, man, how long is it going to take me to get through this? And what is this all about? And you're thinking, wow, these rules. And then, you know, you get into, you know, there's a lot of more interesting characters. But at the same time, it's tough to put it together. But the main thing for people to find whatever it is that ties them into Scripture, just like Max Lucado, he has one simple little scripture, and then he has a storyline on it, and it ties it in, and there might be more scriptures in there that you can look up, but you can look it up and find out what it's about and how that scripture, because you might interpret it. I've read Max Lucado here for 20 years, and every one of those stories and every one of those scriptures, even though I run across it once a year, every year is different.
Oh, yeah.
Is that scripture is not the same in... And 10 years ago, as it was 9 years ago, as it was 8, I look at it and it applied differently to a different phase of life.
Yes,
and
sir.
God speaks through His Word.
Absolutely.
He speaks. And if we neglect it, why should He take time to speak with us? God demands some attention. And, I mean, He created us. And that's my passion, is to, you know, for people to... motivate them to read God's Word and in whatever capacity you have to read it. Whatever way that you can find that you can join. It doesn't mean, you know, whether it's any of those devotionals, you can get little booklets from different churches, Daily Bread, whatever it is that's got God's Word in it. And then that'll entice you to realize that God will speak to you.
You know, that kind of brings us to this phase in your life. Your ministry, you've got a ministry now. So not only did you get saved and spent 6 years in the NFL,
yes.
I think I read.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened between the NFL and now? I mean, what part of the, and then I want to get into your ministry. I want you to tell us about your ministry.
Yeah. Is over the years, Fellowship of Christian Athletes have been very actively involved with them since they launched here in Louisville probably 30 years ago, and they're in all
the
schools.
That's a great organization.
They're in over 100 schools throughout the metropolitan Jefferson County, Bullitt, Oldham, Shelby counties, and they're growing and they're making an impact in our schools. And from elementary school to middle school to high school, and some great organizations. So I've been involved with them and churches. I speak a lot of different places for groups when they want me to come share my testimony, share my story. And so I've done that for years. And then I'd say probably 6 or 7 years ago, I started writing a little bit, and I was just randomly writing my thoughts. You know, as I mentioned to you, God's Word speaks, and I could read one of these devotionals by Max, and it would tell me, I would pull a totally different concept out of it versus what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he might hit a little piece that would inspire me to expand on that and not plagiarize, but because that's the way God's Word works. It's different. It's different every day. You have ministers that they can preach on the same scripture and have 5 different applications. So my wife and I started writing just random stuff, and we were coming back from the Grand Canyon. We started hiking quite a few years ago, and we were coming back and driving back from there, and she said, well, why don't you start spending more time, block out 2 or 3 hours a day and just write. And I said, felt like the Lord led me to do that, and so I did. And I started putting devotionals on Facebook. And it's under Amos Martin, Athlete, and then I've got a website for amosmartinministries.org. And so I started a blog, and I usually write something about once a week now. But I already had a whole bunch of them that I'd backed up that I just expanded on. And so I started writing, and then, you know, through that I started speaking, and now I've finished a book that's going to be a combination autobiography of different events in my life from 5 years old on to today, and that you'll have a storyline on me for one on Mondays, and then you'll have a devotional to read on Monday. Tuesday you'll have a devotional. Wednesday will be sort of a quickie devotional. I call it the 2-minute drill. And then Thursday, you have another devotional. Friday, it's all tied into scripture and different stories and my different thought patterns on different events in the Bible, in my life, etc. And then Saturday is a sort of a prep time. It'll have a time that you can journal and look back on the past week and count our blessings and, you know, what did we learn this week? Sunday will be more of a praise day that we prepare for worship. And that's the whole thing about Sunday, too, is preparing for Sunday. Sunday is not the filling station for Christians. Is, you know, people go to church, say, you know...
That's a good line.
Yeah. Is, you know, they think that, you know, well, I'm going to fill up today and the sermon's going to load me up and carry you through the week. Wrong. It's not going to work. It'll probably keep you on fire for a day or two. But it's not going to light the fire for the week. And in essence, it shouldn't be that in the first place.
Right.
Our time should be each day in God's Word preparing for Sunday to worship.
Amen.
Worship is the priority. And we're going to learn, and we'll be more receptive to learn of what the preachers are going to say. But the main thing is, that's God's time. That's the only time during the week that is designated that we worship our Creator and praise Him, and it'll make for a different experience versus thinking, yeah, we're going to church this Sunday and see what the preacher's got to say, and that's going to last me, and that'll last me through the week. We're not capable of doing that. As men, as women, is we need to get filled every day and find out what God has for us to do.
That's fantastic advice. We had a preacher gone to home to be with the Lord now, but a man I thought really highly of, Brother Cecil Goodman, years ago, used to come to our camp meeting a lot of church, preach revivals. And I remember hearing him say, and I don't guess I'll ever forget, he said, I found out my spiritual bag's got holes in it. He said, everything leaks out, and I got to constantly fill it back up again. Right. Yeah. And I was thinking about that as you were talking about that. But that's great advice, and you're right, Amos. I mean, a lot of us, I've been guilty of myself at times myself, going to church thinking, well, this is my input for the week, and it really ought to be our time to worship, really based on the experience we've already had all week long before we get there. You're right. And man, what our services would be like if everybody came in prepared like that, instead of coming in dry with nothing from the week and expecting to get all their spirituality from the preacher. What if they've been spending time with God all week before they came? I mean, think how that would affect our services.
Right. Yeah. Blow the roof off.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. The other thing is back to daily participation in God's word is each day that we get up, we have a choice. We're going to live in God's kingdom, or we're going to live independent of God's kingdom. Every day we get up, we can say, well, Lord, I'm pretty busy today and I don't have time to really spend any time praying or reading your word. And basically you're saying, I don't need you today. I don't have time. I got this day, Lord. I can take care of it on my own. And we all do that. And we all do that not only with daily stuff, but with the decisions that we make. The first person we forget about is God. I mean, we're all front-running Christians a lot of times, that things are going good. Who's the first one we neglect? It's God. He's on the back burner. And instead of being on the front burner and guiding us and leading us daily to be the kind of men that he wants us to be, and women, that he'll tell us and he'll show us. And God's word is alive. In Hebrews it says it's living, it's active, it penetrates, and it judges. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And that scripture, that last part of that scripture, every day he can judge the thoughts and attitudes of the heart to direct us and lead us.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Well, we can tell where your passion lies. Absolutely. And that's fantastic. Yeah. Amos, you're right. Because ultimately, if we miss the word of God, we're missing the boat entirely, spiritually, because that's where it all starts and ends, right there. And, you know, speaking of that, since we're talking about your ministry, tell us a little bit about your ministry. And not only about it, tell us something that maybe most people wouldn't know about your ministry, something that people don't know.
Well, I don't think there's really much that's not revealed. Is my goal with this, the book that I'm writing, is to speak more. And I like to speak all over the country. I spoke the other day to a seniors luncheon at Southeast, 65 and older group. And again, as you can tell, my passion's word is that's the whole thing is motivating people to make a conscious decision that I've got to spend time with the Lord, is disciplining ourselves, that we discipline ourselves with everything, with what we eat, with our time we get up in the morning, with everything else, and we've got to discipline ourselves to spend time with God's Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, and it has to dwell in us, and if it doesn't, we can't be the people God wants us to be. And
you know something about discipline from football days. And it takes that kind of discipline to stay in the Word of God, doesn't it? And to be faithful in your prayer life, I mean, for sure.
That's right. It starts with an attitude of, you know, there are certain priorities that we have to have in our life. You know, church is essential. God tells us we need to gather together. Church is essential. It's a must. God's Word is a must. And we have to make time for it. Everybody has an alarm clock that, or they can get up without the alarm clock and they got a timing thing that they can do. But is if you know you're going to be busy the next day, then you're going to have to set your alarm clock early so you can spend time with God. As I heard a businessman once said, well, you know, I've been working on my Bible study. I've finished it for the next 2 days because I know I'm going to be busy on day 3 and I won't have time. Well, that's just what we said, is I don't have time. Lord, I don't have time today for you. And you're basically saying, I got it. And just think of how that hurts God's feelings. The other scripture in Romans, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Every day we've got to renew our mind, or we're going to conform to the world.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're going to conform.
It's either renewal or conformity, isn't it? That's what's going to affect us. You're right. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic advice. Mm-hmm. And I know, Amos, every day you don't wake up, sometimes we say this, and I've actually borrowed it from another podcaster, mm-hmm. but it's true. You don't always wake up, in our case, with a spiritual karate chop to the day every day. Tell us about a struggle that you had in your life that you overcame and what that was like. I mean, some dark day that God helped you through.
Well, it's interesting you mention that. I've had sort of two really dark days. One was at the end of my football career. I'd gotten traded to the Seattle Seahawks. I was there with the Vikings 5 years, 3 Super Bowls. Had some good years. I had 3 interceptions 1 year and a fumble recovery for a touchdown. But I got traded. I wasn't playing full-time all the time. The Seattle coach traded for me. He had been with the Vikings, so he traded for me to play a specific position. I got there at basically the last exhibition game, and then the first game of the season we played the Bengals at Riverfront Stadium. And the coach, the first series, the other guy started, and the second series, coach said, look, go on and take over for him. That's what I was there for. This was my opportunity. This is what God, I felt like, had planned. So here we go. But right before that, I was going down on a punt return, and then I was going to stay on defense out there after that. And the back caught the receiver, caught the ball in the punt, and he was cutting across field. I was going to head him off at the pass. He made a sharp cut. I planted my leg, and the knee blew up. Mm.
Same knee?
No, it's actually the other knee.
The other knee, okay.
And so it blew up, and I was out for the season. I was thinking, Lord, it seemed like you had a pretty good plan here going, and I got traded. That is exactly what I wanted to be. I was where I wanted to be. I'm getting ready to take over, and then all of a sudden it's over. So I go back to training camp the next year, and my knee was fine. I mean, didn't slow me down or anything, but it had a little swelling in it occasionally after practice, and I'd go in and get it checked out with the trainer. Never missed practice, but writing was on the wall. You know, here I am, 6-year guy, and maybe a potential weak knee that might cost. And so I didn't play in the first 3 exhibition games, and you could see the writing even more. The writing got more evident on the wall then. And I wasn't sure what to do, and had another Christian buddy, Norm Evans. He had played for the Miami Dolphins in their glory years, and was an all-pro tackle there. I mean, he was playing for the Seahawks at that time. And I went and talked to Norm, a strong Christian brother, and I said, Norm, look, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. I said, my options are I can, you know, maybe I can hook up in Canadian football, you know, rest of the season. I could walk out of camp and see if somebody picks me up. I could go talk to the head coach. And so I don't know what to do. And Norm says, well, you forgot one thing. I said, what's that, Norm? He said, trust God. Trust God. And that was like a light bulb just flashed. And I couldn't, you know, it was so remarkable that he said that, because just like we say is, you know, we're all things that all the things that we do, and many times we don't ask God.
Oh yeah.
And
like you said, I've got this. Right?
Yeah, and you know, I was planning all these options and never even thought about. I'm sure I was praying a little bit, say, Lord, you know, help me out here and pull this out or whatever. But I really wasn't focused on Him, and He said, trust God. And so right then I knew that that's what I was supposed to do. And Norm, we prayed, we held hands there in his room, prayed together, and he quoted the scripture in Philippians, says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will be yours in Christ Jesus. And a tremendous peace fell on me that day. And I left that room, and you know, sometimes we make we have trusting thoughts and prayers like that, but we really say, Lord, you take this and handle it. And I said, no, I'm going to work my butt off. And I did. And I worked hard for those next three exhibition games and worked hard in practice, had really good practices, but I never did play in those games. And right before the first game of the season, a coach called me in the week before and said, basically, you're fired. We put on waivers. And
now, what's that mean, put on waivers, for people that don't understand?
Waivers is you're released from contract with the Seattle Seahawks. Therefore, any other team could pick you up. So back in the old days, you know, contracts, and one of those years that I was with the Vikings is we had a strike year where we actually, the strike was all about getting option for players. Prior to that point is you didn't have a choice. You played for a specific team or you didn't play, and you worked out a deal with them or you didn't play. You didn't have any place else to go. It wasn't like, but so the option year made it possible that at the end of your contract, you could go wherever you wanted to. That's when the salaries all went up. Of course, that was after I left.
Of course, right.
After I did the strike thing, you know, then I get fired. So I was waived and basically put on the street and see if any other teams would pick me up. Well, I hadn't played in exhibition season. Then nobody had any film to watch if I was decent or... And so the word on the street, so I said, I'm going to wait five games and see if anybody picks me up. And I didn't get a call. But now, 2 years prior to that, I was blessed that I'd started a building business with some partners that I was still building in the off season, building houses. And I was building houses over in Plainview. And so I said, after five games, I'm going to start building. And that business took off and end up had quite a few lots that I worked out to deal with my partners, and we were together, and then we had an amicable separation, said I'll take so many lots, you take so many lots, and I started building on my own, and God tremendously blessed me to have a backup income and a very successful income. And
so did you live here the whole time you were playing professional football?
Yeah.
Okay.
First year in Minnesota, we tried to stay up there, and they had a blizzard in April, and we said, we're leaving.
That was enough.
Yeah. And we started heading south. At that time, we were going for the rest of the summer, to rest from April on is spring and summer, is to Jackson, Mississippi, stay with some friends down there. And, you know, it just kept getting greener and greener. I said, and you really forget. Just like now with the leaves off the tree, you know, you would say when you haven't seen it for until April. So it was ready. We went from white to green, and it just kept getting better. So trust God. That was the main point. So
that transition, I guess the Lord had something worked out all along. It wasn't evident, I guess, at first, right? But
no, but is
what was that? Because I've heard some athletes talk about that, Amos. What was that like transitioning from your career and the job that you dreamed about and the thing that you always wanted to do back into basically civilian life? I mean, everybody's got to make that transition at some point. That's hard for a lot of people. I mean, what was that like? I mean,
I think the biggest problem that I see with pro athletes is, some of them aren't prepared for what they're going to do, and so they think that they're still going to have the fame and desirability to do whatever, you know, everybody's going to jump on the wagon to hire them and everything. And then also the being a famous person, you know, is, and maybe they aren't quite as, the notoriety's not there.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously they're disciplined people, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's just a different thing being in pro football, and, you know, every place you go, everybody wants you, everybody, you know, is signing autographs, and everybody wants you to, you know, come over and do whatever. And so you got this big hero syndrome, and then all of a sudden you don't.
And it had to be tough.
Yeah. Right? And the good news is with the story I just told you, is trusting God is, you know, there's a thing about trusting, totally trusting. And it says about faith and knowing in the first Hebrews 11, it talks about faith is having a hope in things that you can't see. You don't know what's coming, but you have faith that God is in control. And that's where I was at that juncture in my life. It didn't make any difference at that point of what he had planned. And I was ready for it. I did have a backup source, and I had some other job opportunities too, but, you know, I was just waiting to see. And so I was going to build, and if the building thing worked, or and then I was going to decide whether I go back the next year, and I was content. I was happy.
So doing you were just content knowing that God had it under control.
That's right.
Whatever it is.
That's right. Whatever the plan was, is I'm ready to go there. And now you asked about stories. Is so at that point, that was in August, September of, let's see, that was 1978. And move the reel forward to 30 years later to 2008, which here I've been a very successful builder. I built a lot of houses. I built, did a lot of developing, developing land and building on it, developing land and selling it to other builders. Had a tremendous amount of inventory of things that were going on, and the economy crashed. And I had tremendous debt. And at that point, you know, the bankers were lending everybody money. And there's no way they should have lent me all the money that they lent me.
Not just you.
Right.
A lot of people in that boat.
That's right. And, and you know, the thing fell apart, and you could just see it, the cascade. I had so much debt to pay back the banks, so many millions of dollars of so much interest each month, and we did it for so long, and finally said, I don't have it, so
right.
I can't do it. What are you going to do? And I scrambled and struggled, and basically this similar scenario, just like that deal in Seattle, is tried everything on my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going to different people, asking them to invest, you know, trying to see if the bankers, you know, do this and do that, and then had all this stuff. And one night I went home, and my wife was there, and she could see the look on my face of dejection, because, you know, it seemed like if some days you'd have hope and then you get shot down. And then so I'd just gotten shot down that day, whatever it was, and it was just sort of collapse in the chair. And and we sat there and we talked about it, and basically same scenario. Trust God. She prayed and we prayed, and we said, look, we don't know where we're going. We don't know what's in store. We got each other, and that's all we need, and God. And we sort of put our hands together and said, it's all yours, Lord. And it took me all that time, just like, you know, how many weeks in Seattle did it take for it to come up? But
yeah.
And here was, that was almost 30 years to the day, and we were actually out in California. We'd taken a trip out there, and we had gotten some books at the Christian bookstore, and the book that we got was called Fireproof. Now, there's fireproof book that's about marriage, but this was a fireproof book. It's about life.
Okay.
And it's about life stories, and it relates to the sequoia trees and the durability of the sequoia trees that are out there in California, and how they live for hundreds of years, and they can go through lightning storms and fires and everything, and they still live. And we got those books, and again, it's all tied into God's word, and just gave us strength to trust God and said, you know, look, so I end up talking to bankers and saying, look, you know, I thought they'd run me out of Dodge, and they worked with me some didn't, but we just sort of let it fly, and it all worked out. And we lost a lot. We had a tremendous income and reserves and used it all, and but we totally trusted him, and it's what we needed. It wasn't fun sometimes, but it was what God, it's what we needed to do to really trust him. Do you really trust me? And we did during that time, and he's blessed us to make it through.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Don't you feel like sometimes, Amos, God routes our course right into those situations mm-hmm. sometimes. So we'll come to that place.
Yeah.
I was thinking as you were talking about Abraham, you know, mm-hmm. who we all marvel at for his faith and what God did through him mm-hmm. and with him. And he goes down into Egypt and lies about his wife because his faith got small there for a while, you know. Right. And had situations like that more than one time in his mm-hmm. journey. So, you know, we're not alone in trying our own way before we get back to where it should have mm-hmm. been all along. But mm-hmm. that's a great story. And thank you for being vulnerable enough to share that. Sure. That'll help people to mm-hmm. to hear that.
Yeah. Old Testament characters are just like us.
They
are. You know, all the big heroes of faith, Abraham, David, they all hit the pit sometimes. And
yes, sir.
And we're going to... You know, is I always think is you're either going through something now, or you're not, or you're going to go through something.
Yes, sir.
And it's coming, and we've just got to rely on God. That is, I think a lot of times people think that God's up there like a puppet master making all this stuff happen, but I think there are things that happen here, and then it's up to us whether God directed it or Satan did. But he can get involved.
Yes.
And he's either involved or we can get him involved. And that's where we're supposed to be. And we don't understand it. Scripture in Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. We're not going to understand sometimes. All he wants to do is trust.
Yes, sir.
And he'll direct our paths.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yeah. That's the truth. Being a faithful Heavenly Father, I know when I was growing up, I didn't always understand everything my dad was doing,
mm-hmm.
but he knew.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that was okay.
All right.
It was all right because Dad knew. He understood.
Yeah.
They had faith in him, and that faith in the Lord is even bigger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I, you know, just looking through our questions here, I just want to kind of hit some highlights and a few things, but I'm extremely thrilled about where we've already been.
Mm-hmm.
What's some advice that you've had along the way, Amos? I know you can't narrow your life down to one piece of advice, but mm-hmm. what would be one or two real good pieces of advice that you've received along the way?
Well, part of my message when I speak is, again, prodding people to be in God's Word and telling them scriptures of seeking God in Jeremiah and Chronicles. Just look up that word in the Bible about seeking God. Seek. And God promises he'll be there if we seek him. And if we don't seek him, you know, why should he show up? I know he does when we don't seek him sometimes, but
right.
So that's one of my messages. The other message that I have is, relates to the question that you have, is years ago, my son, I coached him as he grew up to middle school. And then he went to high school, and of course I couldn't do that as I had a business to run. And I watched him play, and he went on to college. He played a little bit in college, but then he basically got educated after that and dropped out. But right there, I spent 4 years not doing, you know, coaching, and they asked me to come back to the same league that I was in. And so I said, yeah, I think I'm ready to come back. And I enjoyed middle school football. And so I went back to coaching. And we were pretty good when I coached my last few years. But the league had gotten sort of decimated where I went back. And we didn't have that many kids. And we just kept getting our butts kicked every week. And, I mean, we'd win some and lose some. And I did that for 3 years. And I was thinking, Lord, there's got to be enough. This is getting. I like teaching kids, but you know, let's. I mean, I just need some more people. And so I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, I'm not sure if this is where you want me. And so I was thinking about retiring at that third year, and we had our banquet in October. And so I was in my office, and around Christmas time, and I saw one of my kids and played quarterback for me. He and his mom were walking up that walk outside my office, and they came in, and the kid gave me a big NFL book. It was an expensive book too. I mean, it was thick, and I said, man, it was really nice of him to give me that. And they left, and after they left, I opened up the book, and that first page said, Coach, I just want to thank you for the best year of my life.
Wow.
God spoke. I'd been praying. And so I said, I'm supposed to go back to coaching. And so I went back, and believe it or not, next year we won the championship.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. That's a great story.
Yeah,
that's really good.
But it continues. So I coached probably the next 20 years. So I coached for a long time, and then...
Where were you coaching?
Linden Recreation.
Okay.
Linden Recreation used to have a really big senior program, which was middle school, and then... shortly after I retired from that, they had some problems over there in administration. The league blew up, and it sort of got, about that time is middle school football took over, which they did. Jefferson County didn't have middle school football. They were all these teams. You had Linden, you had Hikes Point, you had South End teams, you had Highview, you had all these different teams. They were playing in different leagues, so none of the kids were playing in middle school. So, but I'd retired for about 2 years, and I knew that program blew up, and I just kept saying, Lord, I know I need to, I'm ready to serve you. Just show me how. And I prayed. About that time, I was going through that intense Bible study, too.
And you still building houses at this time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still building part-time today.
But, okay.
Anyway, so 2 years passed, and my wife, she was... teaching Sunday school over third, fourth, and fifth graders. And she said, well, maybe this is for you. So I went over there with her. I did that for one Sunday. She asked me the next Sunday, said, you want to go back? And I said, honey, if I go back, somebody's going to die. I said, that ain't for me. God didn't direct me over there. So I kept praying. And during that Bible study that we had a lot of scripture memory stuff. And one of the scriptures that was in there was in Ephesians 2:10. It says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Yes, sir.
Prepared for us in advance. So I kept praying and saying, and sort of trust God. Say, look, I'm anxious, but I'm going to wait until you show me. Wasn't long after that, I get a call from Barrett Traditional Middle School. And the first year they didn't have a middle school football team, so they wanted to in the second year. So they said, "Look, do you want to do this?" And I said, "Well, you know, the reason I got out of it because we had nighttime practices, and you know, 6 to 8 every night, and you don't get home till 9 o'clock, and then Saturday games, so your life shot for 6 months." And I said, "I can't." Well, they said, "Look, we're going to have practice shortly after school. We're going to have a study hall, and then we'll have practice over on the field. So you." Be home by, you know, kids will be gone by 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
I said, that's interesting, yeah. And I said, there were a few other glitches, but it all worked out. And that's, wife and I prayed about it. That's where God directed me to be. And I've done that for the last 6 years, and I just retired this past year. But it was the most blessed 6 years with those kids. Even more valuable than the years before, because I knew that's where God wanted me. And I knew that, just like that scripture said, it was prepared in advance. And people out there today, and we all have spiritual gifts. It tells us in Corinthians where there's a manifestation of the Spirit in everybody of a gift that we have to offer. And it's in God's book. God has a book up there in heaven, and here it is, and it's planned. And it's here, Amos, would you do this for me? Well, that was football, and that was whatever's next and whatever's next, waiting for him to speak. Is that it's in that book. And if I don't get it done, it might not get done. And the other reason it's in that book is because that's where God gives us the greatest joy. That's where our joy is. And that's because we're making him joyful because we're doing his work. So, people out there, if you're driving a bus and griping and storming about it, that ain't what you're supposed to do. If you're going to nursing homes and dragging in there every time and saying, you know, I hate this place, that ain't where God wants you. There is a specific place, just like in that scripture. It's prepared in advance. It's in that book. And all we have to do is find it. And that's where we receive the most joy, and that's where the abundant life comes through most dramatically, because we're serving what God wants us to do. And right now, that book was the next phase after I got, one reason I retired from football is just getting too old to be standing around. That's why Mike's working on my body. Is
Where were you again this last
year? Barrett Traditional Middle School. We were in 6 years, and we made the playoffs almost every year. And this past year, we lost in the semifinals of the state. So we really had some good years. But mainly it was great kids and great organization that we had, and just a great chance to witness to them too. FCA's involved, and it was training those kids to be in God's will too. So it was just wasn't football. It was a discipline of life, and teaching them lessons and through football. So it was a great time, and I retired this past year because of my granddaughter who's going to Sacred Heart. She'll be a senior at Sacred Heart, and she's on the golf team.
Okay.
And I missed some of – they won the state championship last year, and we were there for some of it, but I missed a lot because of football. And so I really want to focus on her this year and her golf, and she's already had some scholarship offers. And so I really wanted to spend more time with her. And, again, football, I was just getting too achy to continue on.
Yes, sir.
So, but the next phase of my the plan that God's work was that book. He sort of, you mentioned about me building is, I'm still building for friends. I got a couple of remodel jobs. I got a friend lady that I'm going to probably build a house for, but I'm not full time. I'm not building any specs. I'm not doing any developing. I'm not doing any of that. And just sort of as it goes. And I was sort of finished up some projects as I started working on the book the past 6 years or a month, and then it started fading a little bit, and really it did, so I could finish that book. And I finally got it finished a few weeks ago, and businesses, I've got things that are coming up business-wise, but I'm waiting for that book, see what happens with it. But, a book's supposed to give you a little bit more notoriety for people to ask you as a speaker. And that's my goal, and I think it's God's given me the gift to speak to people and motivate them to set aside time. Set aside time. That's what it's about, is time, and give God some time with our lives.
Mm. Amen. Mm. That's fantastic.
Mm.
What do you what are you excited about, Amos, looking forward? Obviously, you got the book that you're working on, but what are you seeing coming up for you? I know you've talked about some of that already, but
mm-hmm.
where are you headed? Where do you think God's taking all this?
I think the book is, I'm excited about it, is the concept's a little bit different than a standard devotional. It's got a little mix of everything in it. And whether it's, I think it's going to be the door opener. My goal is not to sell a million books, but is say, look, read Max Lucado, read Charles, I don't care. You can read my book if you want to, if you need something for a daily, my book is a, it's not a yearly thing because I'm going to start out 5 years old, and so it's, you can't start in the middle of my life. You really want to start at the beginning. So you can start at any time of the year, but it, have a Monday, Tuesday through Sunday deal that you take off from there. But the goal is open the door. I want to speak. I've got a message to speak that I think I can inspire people. I think that's what God wants me to use me. The biggest, of all the churches, you look at the majority of the people out there, and how many Christians are, how many real Christians are out there, truly Christians. I think a lot of people think sometimes they're Christian, and they think intellectually that they know who Jesus is, but they don't necessarily know him in their heart. And I've got a lot of devotions in there about accepting Jesus and committing your life to Jesus. But then I have other ones in there for the other people that there's so many out there that don't know what to do. It's a Sunday experience. We're committed on Sunday and the kids go to Sunday school and that's it. And they don't know. And if we can just get them started and let them realize that God will open so many doors for you and open your life and open your to your family, to your kids, and he'll open your mind to what the power that he has. And people don't realize that. I think I've seen surveys done. You asked how many read their Bible, and it's a small percentage. And a lot of it is because of fear of the book is... you know, they read Leviticus and they say, man, this is like, you know, eating soap. And so find the parts, find whatever it is that you can get connected with God's word, whatever it is, and prayer, and spending some time in prayer, and find something that, you know, instructional. Some people, you know, that Bible study I did for 2 years was a booklet, and that's me. And my wife's the same way. Is I needed that structure. You know, every day was a lesson, and every day filling in the blanks and look up God's word, and so that I needed that because I don't open my Bible and say, look, I'm going to read Samuel today or Kings or Chronicles or something. I mean, a lot of times I need sort of a direction to why I'm reading it and what it's trying to tell me.
Sure.
Versus, you know, a lot of people just don't know where to start. And if we can just feed them a little bit and say, just you'll find out. God will speak to you. He'll open your mind. He will direct your life. I can't tell you how many times I've had problems with a buddy of mine, and I meet twice a week with two different guys for accountability partnership. But I used to have a buddy, and unfortunately he passed away about 3 or 4 months ago, my best friend from the last 30 years.
Sorry.
And he's with the Lord, and that's the good news. And
yes, sir.
But I can't tell you how many times I'd be struggling with something or he'd be struggling something with, and you know, I'd get there early before we met so I could spend some time with God, and I can't tell you how many times I opened it up and there's the answer.
Yes, sir.
And God's word, he knew on that day of that year, here's the answer.
Yes, and, sir.
And we've all done it, and then we're all amazed. But so why don't we do it every day?
You're right. That accountability helps for sure too.
Yeah.
And you know, and having the structure you're talking about, you know, and always there have been times in my life where I've thought, well, maybe I'll just be more free flowing with that. You know, just mm-hmm. let God decide what I'm going to read and where I'm going to go. But you know what I found out? I think about this all the time with our camp meeting at church. We used to go to a camp meeting where pastors came, families come for a weekend, for a week, whatever. And you get to hear people preach and hear people sing and, you know, ministries. And the fellow that did this particular camp had a schedule, and he'd book everybody ahead of time, and you mm-hmm. know exactly who was speaking each night. And,
right.
And my pastor tends to tell the preachers to be ready, you know, mm-hmm. be prayed up, and I'll call you from the floor, you know. And I found out, what I found out in the course of that was both work, you know, mm-hmm. because God can be just as much in the scheduling as he can in the calling them from right. the floor. Yeah, so both, and the same thing with devotionals, God can mm-hmm. use something. I listen to Adrian Rogers a lot of times in the morning.
Oh yeah, he's strong. I like his voice.
Well, yeah, and I don't know how long he's been gone now, for several years.
Yeah.
And those messages were preached, I don't know how long ago. It mm-hmm. hadn't been an eternity ago, but it sure wasn't yesterday.
Right.
And I find sometimes that's the very one I'll select on my way to work. It's mm-hmm. the very message that I need to hear, and it's just as fresh today as it was when he preached it back then. And mm-hmm. God's word's amazing. Right. I mean, it doesn't get old. It really
never
doesn't.
Gets old.
No, sir. Mm-hmm. I bet we could read something that the Pilgrims wrote, and be just as applicable today.
Right.
Well, Amos, we don't want to take a much.
No, I got one
time.
Other story for you.
I want you. I want to feel free. I just don't want to take too much of your time.
I mentioned to you my best friend from 30 some years ago, and this is directed to all the men listening out there. Not that the women don't need it, but it's more for men. I was going through some tough times in my life. I had some serious marital problems, and going through those times, I went to had some things that happened, and I went to a psychologist, and I called him, and you know, men have a real hesitancy sometimes to ask for help.
Yeah,
you know,
we're
the fix it guys. But I knew I didn't have any answers, so I went to this psychologist and talked to him, and we went through some stuff, and he helped me through it. But then he said, do you have any, what's going on in your life? He said, do you have any friends you can share this with? And I didn't. I had a lot of friends, but I didn't have anybody I wanted to share this with. And so I thought about that, and a few weeks later, a buddy that worked with me, and we were friends. We'd done some stuff socially, but I didn't really want to talk to him too much about anything. But I said, let's start a relationship. I told him, he worked for me. I said, let's start meeting for breakfast every Tuesday and just talk about our lives instead of, you know, we got to work, talk business too, but we'll just get together and share. So we did. And that was almost 40 years ago.
Wow.
And that's the buddy that I lost.
Oh, man. That's a big loss.
It was a big loss. He had been going through some physical problems, and he had some problems with family and kids and stuff that were really stressing him out, and he had been going through them for a long time. And when I lost him, obviously it was close, and but I knew he was in a better place, and he knew the Lord, and he and I did things together. We went on the Emmaus walk with each other. But anyway, is every Tuesday, and we did that for the first 20 years, and then probably the last 10 or 15 years or whatever it was, we started meeting on Fridays too, and because we knew we needed it. And it wasn't so much, you know, I got to drop my guts to you, is we just talk. And so many times the problems we have in life, if you've got somebody to listen to you, that's basically what psychologists do and psychiatrists do. They're listening to you. And you get it out and you speak it. And it almost, you hear it in a different concept versus you have it stored up inside of you in your subconscious and in your conscious. Is that it's not, the wheels aren't grinding. So we all need somebody. And every Tuesday, I mean, we never missed. Is because it wasn't that we had any major problems in our lives, but we just knew we needed each other and we could share, and if we had a problem, we could talk about it. And sometimes we never had answers. You just spoke. And he didn't necessarily have an answer for me, and I didn't necessarily have an answer for him, but you got it out. And then you could deal with it. And like I said, so many times there'd be times we'd leave there and we turn on the Christian radio station, and there it was.
The very thing you'd
The very thing
about.
We just talked about. He said, he'd call me and said, did you hear that? I said, yeah. You believe it? No, yeah. But we all need somebody, a confidant. And men are the worst because we think we got to handle it. You know, the macho world of that they have now is that they used to say, men, you know, we're the macho men, and we can handle it and we can fix it. Wrong. We can't do it all. We've got to talk to somebody. We need somebody that you meet with every night. I used to meet him on Tuesdays and Fridays, and now I got two different guys that I meet with.
That's wrong.
Because they were friends, and they needed it, and I need it, and so. I'm still doing it, even without him, is it because how critical it was to make it through the week and through life.
So I guess it goes without saying, but you'd encourage other men to reach out and do that same thing.
Find one man. You know, some accountability groups, they have bigger groups that, you know, three or four guys. Sometimes those don't get quite as intimate as one-on-one. And
bigger the crowd, the less you feel like sharing.
And I mean, sometimes they warm up and people get really close, but I'd say start off with just find one person, and then you don't have to say, look, I got some deep stuff I need to share with you. Start meeting and say, look, let's just meet.
Yeah, so I got the weight of the world here. I'm going to throw it on you. Yeah, let's meet Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. Just say, look, and that's all we talked. I said, look, why don't we just get together and, you know, enjoy each other and get to know each other a little bit closer than what we do, and just tell them that, and I think it'll escalate from there. It'll take off, and just find the one person. Actually, the two guys that are sort of my replacements, the one guy asked me a year or two ago to be an accountability partner, and I told him, I said, I've got You know, I don't have a day. I had my buddy on Tuesdays and Fridays. I've got a Bible study on Thursdays, and my wife spent a lot of time on Saturday and Sunday morning. So I needed some, you know, I just wasn't ready for it. But then my buddy died, and so I started meeting with him, and then I had another buddy that was very close to my good friend too, that we were friends, and so it's going to be a neat relationship with him too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting to see what God's going to do with that.
That's right. Before. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, Amos, anything else on your heart?
No, I think I spilled my guts.
No. Hey, we enjoyed the spilling, and other people will too. I think, well, a couple things if you could finish with.
Sure.
One, a way to get in contact with you for people to reach out to you.
Yeah.
And secondly, just a parting piece of advice for people.
Okay. AmosMartinMinistries.org has a website, and my blog's on there that has a lot of my devotionals on there. So you can, there's email on there that you can email, and we can capture that. I'm also on Facebook under Amos Martin. I think it has Amos Martin Athlete. Then there's Amos Martin Ministries that are on there too. So both those, you can send me a friendship on Facebook. So those are the best routes. And my email, I've got another email besides ones that are on some of those. It's amosm0130@gmail.com. So you can, those are plenty of ways to get a hold of me. Parting comments after all that's been said here is, I think just reflecting back on two scriptures is Hebrews 11:6. And the last part of that scripture is, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Keep that in the forefront of your mind. Rewards those who earnestly seek him. We don't seek him, we're going to miss some rewards. But he will reward us if we really, truly seek him. And then the one from Ephesians, we're God's workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, the one buddy I'm meeting with now, he's in the prison ministry. And a remarkable story of his life. And he spent 22 years in jail. And now he's leading prisoners to God. He was a Christian prior to even going into jail. And during that time, he got his GED. During that time, he got 3 different college degrees, and he also studied Greek. So very, very talented, intellectual person. But that one scripture in Ephesians 2:10, where it says, we are God's workmanship. He told me, he said he liked that scripture too. He says, workmanship in the Greek is called poema. That's the word for poetry. We are God's poetry.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. And that was just, you know, some people, when you think of poetry, I just think of flowing lightness, that something super special with poetry. And that's, we're God's poetry, and we're here to do the work for him that can make us what he wants us to be. So, and like I said, is that last part of that scripture is created in Christ Jesus, prepared in advance. It's prepared in advance. It's written up there. It's written in God's big book. And when we stand before him, when we go to the throne of God and we stand before him, he's going to open that book. And he says, here's some things I wanted to get accomplished for you. And you could say, he didn't do them, and say, you missed it. You missed that special joy I had planned for you, because it's what I needed. And so we got to be looking for those two things. Rewards as they seek you, and look for what we're supposed to do. Mike, take some time. I had a buddy of mine who was, he said he, years ago, he agreed to the church to go serve communion to nursing home people once a month. And he said he went kicking and screaming and griping, and that was 30 years ago.
He changed his tune when he got
it. He loved it.
Yeah.
And he looks forward to it. And sometimes we got to sample things. It's like me with third, fourth, and fifth graders. I had to sample that. And they buried me in there. And sometimes you got to sample and see if that's what it is. And you'll know, and you'll have a peace that surpasses all understanding when we're doing His will.
Amen. Amos, thank you for your time.
Sure. Thank you, guys.
Look forward to seeing you again on down the road.
Yeah, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Well, we hope you have enjoyed the podcast, the interview that Travis did with Amos Martin. Amos is just a wonderful man. I met him at my work, and he's doing a lot of great things. He's still working construction, kind of part-time. He kind of picks and chooses what he wants to do now at the stage of his career. But anyway, we hope you'll enjoy this podcast. Hope you enjoyed it, and hope you'll share it with some of your friends. And as always, dear friend, our mission here at Glory to His Name is to help encourage, equip, and edify God's people. And if you'd like to correspond with us, please go to or email us at glorytohisnamepodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's glorytohisnamepodcast@gmail.com. Tell somebody about Jesus today. Let somebody know what He's done in your life, and he can do the same in their life. Amen. So we want to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus. Until the next podcast, we're signing off.